The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. How do you deal with giants? Well, you defeat them.
Easy to say, difficult to do, might be your comment. Pastor Greg Laurie says you'd be right if you had to fight alone.
We have a giant called the devil. And our giant was defeated 2,000 years ago by the Lord himself. So we don't have to defeat the devil in our strength. Christ has already done that. So I don't fight for victory. I fight from victory.
This is the day when the lost are found.
In the 1600s, mathematician Blaise Pascal first illustrated something called a hydraulic jack. It lifts heavy objects easily. Today, hydraulic jacks lift cars, trucks, houses, nearly anything. Heavy equipment makes the impossible possible. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the heavy equipment we have at our disposal in our fight against the devil. Well, see, our giant-sized adversary is no match for our all-powerful God.
We all have giants, so to speak, that we face in life. Something dark and sinister lurking around the perimeter of your life. How do you deal with giants? Well, you defeat them. But how do you defeat a giant? Glad you asked that question. And that's what we're going to look at in the very familiar story of David and Goliath. Now, the enemies of the Israelites, the Philistines, have challenged them to a war. And they're at a valley called Elah. On one side are the Philistines. On the other side are the Israelites. And the representative of the Philistines was a 9-foot-6-inch dude named Goliath. Solid muscle, covered in body armor, a massive shield and a sword and a helmet and everything else. And he wanted a fight. So he said, I'll make a deal with you guys. Let's have a fight. And instead of our whole armies fighting, how about if you just send your best man to fight me? And if I win, then you guys serve us. And if your guy wins, then we will serve you. Well, this is kind of a win-win opportunity for Goliath because he knew no one's going to beat me. They don't have anyone in their camp that will even face me, much less beat me on the battlefield. So David shows up and he listens to Goliath. Who's that guy? Oh, that's Goliath. No one will fight him. David's thinking, what? Why? Why doesn't someone take that guy on? See, in the mind of David, this was just another predator who needed to go down. David wasn't just a musician. He could fight. And he fought wild beasts to protect his sheep. And he was quite efficient with this little sling of his and a stone. And so he volunteered to go fight Goliath. And that is where the story begins. And here is where we discover how to defeat our giants. 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to start in verse 40. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. David picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across to fight Goliath. Goliath walked toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. Sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy, he roared at David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Goliath yelled, "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." Now look at what David does. David shouts in reply, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today," David says, "the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I will cut off your head, and then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the wild birds and animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It's his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us." Now look at this. Don't miss this verse. As Goliath moved closer to attack, underline this, David quickly ran out to meet him. David didn't just hold his ground. He took ground. He ran quickly out to meet him. Verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it from his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face downward on the ground. Then notice that David finishes the job. 1 Samuel 17:50. So David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and a sling. And since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. And David used it to kill the giant and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. So what do we learn from this? If you're taking notes, here's point number one. We all have giants in life. We all have giants in life. We all face severe hardships and seemingly insurmountable obstacles and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, remember the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He'll keep the temptation from becoming so strong you can't stand up against it. So when you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so you will not give into it. So we all have a giant. And whatever you're going through, and I don't know what that is, but it's not unique necessarily to you. Someone else is facing something similar, or someone has faced something similar. We all have giants in life. And know this, every giant is defeatable. Point number two, David knew the battle belonged to the Lord. He knew the battle belonged to the Lord. Verse 47, he said to Goliath, "It's his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us." That's how he could bring a rock to a sword fight. Because that's exactly what he did. This was a war. He said, "I'm good. Got my sling. Just found a very nice, smooth stone." And it's a reminder to us that we're in a spiritual battle. And you fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. And so that is the way we need to come at the challenges that we face in life. And we're afraid of our giants. We're afraid of these threats against us. But we need to remember that God is in control and he's more powerful than our adversary. Greater is he that is in you, the Bible reminds us, than he that is in the world. Listen, there is no power that you have to be under. There's no addiction that needs to control your life. There is no giant that should be overpowering and taunting you, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that brings me to point number three, attack your giants. Look at verse 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David ran quickly out to meet him. He ran at his giant. Point number four, finish the giant off. Verse 51 of 1 Samuel 17 says, he ran over, pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and he killed the giant. And that's what you need to do as well. You need to kill your giants and burn your bridges. This is not a mystery, folks. Well, I'm tempted by booze. It's really hard. You have booze in your house? Yes, I do. Get rid of it. How do I do that? Take off the cap, pour it down the drain. I can't. You must. Pour it out. Well, I have drugs. I have a little stash here. Get rid of them. That's bad stewardship. Can I sell them? No. You'll be arrested. Just get rid of them. Get rid of these things. I mean, we keep these things that are our weakness around, and then we're shocked when they come back to get us in a moment of vulnerability, and we're tempted to go back to that thing again. Deal with it. If it's sexual sin, you have to put barriers around your life so you don't fall into that sin again. Honestly, sometimes it's a complete termination of a relationship. It's very hard. If you have a relationship with a guy or a girl, and it turns romantic, and then if it turns sexual, it's very hard to turn that clock back, okay? And say, we're not going to do that anymore. Well, that's easier said than done. So you're going to probably have to bring your relationship to a place where you're not in a situation of vulnerability like you were in before. But you need to call it what it is. Sin is sin. We rationalize it. Well, it's a weakness. It's a vulnerability. Everybody's doing it. Doesn't really matter. Sin is still sin. So another way to kill your giant is to make yourself accountable to someone. So let's say you have a struggle. Say, you know, go to someone you trust and say, I'm going to tell you a little something about a personal struggle. And I need you to pray for me. And I need you to hold me accountable. And I need you to check up on me and ask me how I'm doing. And I won't resent it if you do it. In fact, I want you to do it. So that sounds good until he does it or she does it for the first time, right? It's like, hey, don't be getting in my business. No, you need someone to do that. If you're married, it's like your wife needs to have your passcode, for instance. My wife can look at anything I'm saying to anybody. And the other day she got on my phone and she texted a friend of mine, as me, and he asked me a question, so she thought she would respond, as me, and said, oh, I can't make it. Then she did a little emoji blowing a kiss. I'm like, I would never have the kissing emoji, okay? I had to actually text him, I did not send that emoji. He said, it's too late, it's already out there. Oh, you know. So now I'm changing my password. No, I'm kidding. But you know, you deal with it in the light of day.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. It's reassuring when we read letters and emails from listeners who have been helped by the ministry of Greg Laurie and A New Beginning.
Pastor Greg, I listen to you every morning on my way home from dropping my husband at work, and I've got to say you've helped me through my hardest times. I have a little boy with moderate autism, and I lost my mom to cancer a year ago. My soul has been so heavy every day, but you've helped me realize that God is who I need more than anything, and He will take care of the rest. My husband and son now love listening to you in the car. Thank you for helping millions of people just like me. God bless.
We're so grateful to hear how Pastor Greg's teachings have helped this young mom. If you have a story to tell, I hope you'll contact us today. Email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And now let's continue with Pastor Greg's message called How to Overcome Your Giants.
After David defeated Goliath, look at what happened. 1 Samuel 17:51. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran, and then the Israelites gave a great shout of triumph. They rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, and the bodies of the dead and wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road from Shaarim as far as Gath and Ekron. Okay, so now let's see what this means to us. We have a giant called the devil. And our giant was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross of Christ by the Lord himself. In fact, we're told over in the book of Colossians 2:14, Christ on the cross canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it, nailing it to the cross. And this way he disarmed the evil rulers and authorities and shamed them publicly. The Israelites shared in the victory of David. His victory was their victory. We share in the life of the greater David, the son of David, the one who was the root and offspring of David, Jesus Christ. So we don't have to defeat the devil in our strength. Christ has already done that. So I don't fight for victory. I fight from victory. So there it is. So let's review and close. Number one, everyone has giants. There are no exceptions. It's just a matter of what, where, or who your giant is. Number two, the battle belongs to the Lord. I need to rest in the finished work of what Christ has done. It's a spiritual battle that needs to be fought with spiritual weapons. Point number three, attack your giant. Bring your giant, your addiction, your issue, your problem, your whatever that is bothering you into the light of day. Call on God and pray for his power and attack it. Don't put it off a week or a month or a year. Deal with it right now. And fourthly, finish your giant off. Cut off its head. Burn your bridges. Break with the past. Draw the lines. Make yourself accountable to others. And stay away from people or situations where you would be unnecessarily tempted. Sometimes you have to take greater measures. Kathy and I were staying in a hotel recently, and they gave me a big glass jar full of those little pretzels with peanut butter in them. I find those addictive, right? And so I had one. Oh, so good. Because they're a little salty and a little sweet. And I had another, and I had another. And I've taken maybe a quarter of them are already gone. I'm just eating them. I'll have one, walk away, come back, have another, walk away. Yeah, I don't just take a handful and own it, and then come back a little later, eat another one. And I realize if I don't stop, I'm going to eat all of them. I just know it. So I went over, it's a bad thing, went over to the toilet, poured them all, flushed it. Temptation gone. Temptation gone. As a great theologian, Clint Eastwood, once said, a man's got to know his limitations. So that was my vulnerability. So Kathy comes in the kitchen. She said, where did all the pretzels go? You ate all of them? I said, no, I flushed them down the toilet. I don't think she believed me, but it's true. Sometimes you have to take radical measures. You do. Remember the story of that guy who got his arm caught in a rock and no one was coming to rescue him and he knew he would die? So he took out his pocket knife and cut off his arm. And it took a long time. But you know what? He lived to tell the story. Better to have one arm missing and still be alive than to have your arm and be dead. And that really is this idea that Jesus gave when he says, you know what? If your right eye causes you to lust, pluck it out. For it's better to, you know, get rid of that eye than to perish with both of them. And he said, if your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off. You're thinking, is that a literal scripture? Should we do that literally? No. Because if I plucked out my right eye, I could still lust with my left eye. If I cut off my right arm, I could still sin with my left arm, right? So what Jesus is obviously doing is using a radical analogy. Cut it off, meaning take whatever measure is necessary. So that's my point. Sometimes some people have to take more extraordinary measures than other people do. I know some people, if they go into a hotel room and there's a little miniature bottles of liquor, they have to get it all removed from their room because they're vulnerable. Now, I'm not saying this to boast, but when I go into a hotel room, I don't have to do that. It doesn't tempt me. It doesn't interest me. That's not my weakness, you see? But my weakness might be something else. So I have to deal with what I'm dealing with and take the measures that I need to take. The Bible says, follow peace and hope and love with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But then it says, flee youthful lust. So stay away from the things that drag you down. And run toward the things that build you up and hang around people who are like-minded. Let me close with this. I know I said I was closing 15 minutes ago and then I ranted on, didn't I? But it wasn't that bad. You heard the pretzel story and you liked that, didn't you? That's all you'll remember is the pretzel story. Our foe, the devil, was defeated at the cross. And the devil would like you to think that you're his. He would like you to think he can do whatever he wants in your life. And maybe in a sense, that's true if you're not a Christian. Because a non-Christian is just a sitting duck. It's like they have a target painted on them. But the believer, we're protected because Christ died for us. He lives in us. So maybe you've said, you know, I want to be a better person. I want to overcome this addiction. I want to be kinder. I want to be more loving. I want to change. And, you know, maybe I'll just get a Bible and I'll start reading the Bible and I'll go to church a little bit and, you know, and learn a few Christian sayings like hallelujah, praise God, and it's all going to burn or whatever. I don't know. But, well, that's not what being a Christian is. that's maybe improving your life a little bit, but being a Christian is just saying, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need help and I need it now. I need God. That's why the Bible calls it being saved, which is the perfect picture. Saved. You're like a drowning person, a person that cannot save themselves, and you're drowning in sin. And Christ can save you. And you say, but how does that happen? It's when you admit your sin and call out to him. The Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you believe in him tonight? Do you believe in him now? Wherever you are, if you want Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin and help you defeat your giants, it can happen right here, right now. He stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Would you like him to come in? In a moment, we're going to pray and I'm going to extend an invitation for you to have Christ come and take residence in your heart. An opportunity for you to be forgiven of all of your sin. A way for you to have a fresh start in life. He's just a prayer away. This is not some long, complex process you go through. It's just where you reach out to him and say, Lord, I need you tonight. Come into my life. And he will. So we're going to bow our heads for a prayer. And if you're not sure if Jesus is living inside of you and you want him to, if you want to go to heaven when you die, respond to this invitation as we pray. Father, speak to any person here, any person listening or watching, wherever they might be, who does not yet know you. Help them to come to you, help them believe in you, and help them be forgiven by you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And if you'd like to make a change today in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you with that in just a moment before we wrap up today here on A New Beginning. If you weren't able to hear the whole presentation today from Pastor Greg, you can go online for a replay. Just go to harvest.org and look for the title, How to Overcome Your Giants. Well, we're so glad to have Pastor Greg's wife, Kathy, joining us on the program, along with authors Jay and Catherine Wolf. Kathy, let me ask you, what is it that caught your attention in the Wolf's brand new book that we're making available right now called Suffer Strong?
I love the fact that it says on the subtitle is How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. And I think of this book really is a survival guide, mm-hmm. and it's a training manual, not only for those who are currently suffering, but for those who will certainly, as we all will in this life, suffer at some point. Mm-hmm. And it would be good for us to learn ahead of time. Maybe we won't experience mm-hmm. it like you did, but we can certainly read and learn. And I think it's so important for us as believers. You may think, oh, this would be a great book to give to someone who is suffering. Actually, it would be a great book for you to read right now before you suffer.
Yeah,
because it's mm-hmm. not if, it's when. And when that happens, you want to have in place in your life the support systems and the correct thinking, which I think is really important in this book, is how you take control of your thought life
mm-hmm.
and get these things in your head, at least conceptually, so that when it happens, you're going, okay, I think this is what's going on. And they'll have the tools ready. So thank you for writing this mm-hmm. book. And thank you for speaking for all of those out there who have suffered and have come through the other side and have a story to tell. And we can sit and learn that community that we have within our small groups and within our churches, hopefully is a diverse enough community that will include those who have gone through suffering or who are suffering. We don't want to just live this happy, perfect Instagram life because that's not real life. But we really need those face-to-face connections. And you guys have written so beautifully and transparently about it. And thank you for that.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
So you've just been listening to Kathy Laurie share her thoughts about this great new book by our guests called Suffer Strong. Their names are Catherine and Jay Wolf, and they've come through a time of great difficulty. Some would say Catherine is wheelchair bound, but Catherine says she's wheelchair free. How can she say such a thing? Well, she talks about it in this book that is subtitled How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything.
Yeah. It really is an inspiring book. And you'll find it to be life-saving insight when the crises of life bring you to the end of your rope. You may be going through a season like that right now, or maybe a season like that might be right around the corner. Now's the time to prepare with insight that's both biblical and tested right in the crucible of real life. We'll be glad to send you Suffer Strong to thank you for your donation to help keep this listener-supported study coming your way. We really need your help right now, and it's appreciated more than you know. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you mentioned how someone can become a Christian with just a simple prayer.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody would like to do that right now. Could you help them with that?
Sure. I'd love to. A simple prayer is right. In fact, I would like to just pray a prayer, and I would ask you to pray it after me. You might even pray it out loud. Pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I also know that you are the Savior because you died on the cross for my sin and you rose again from the dead. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer, Lord. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it, I want you to know on the authority of Scripture, God Almighty has heard your prayer and he will answer this prayer. You are now a newly minted child of God. So congratulations, you've made the right decision and welcome to the family of God. I want to send you a special gift because of that prayer you've just prayed. It's called the New Believer's Growth Packet. And in it is a copy of the New Testament in a very understandable translation called the New Living Translation. It also is filled with hundreds of notes that I wrote that will encourage you in this commitment you've made to follow Christ. And there's some other outstanding materials in this little packet I'll send you as well. So order your copy today and let me be the first to say to you, congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and to get that New Believer's Growth Packet, just get in touch and we'll be glad to send it right out. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. I want to tell you about a great way to hear God's word and worship with fellow believers, not only around the nation, but around the world. It's called Harvest at Home.
Millions are tuning in from all over the planet, and tens of thousands have made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why not join us?
You just go to our website, harvest.org. We have our weekend services there, of course, but we also have great ministry there every single day. Sometimes it's visiting a message from a Harvest Crusade. Another time it's a Q&A session we're doing. Maybe it's something my wife is doing for the ladies, and we even feature Christian films.
Movies such as Lost Boy, Pastor Greg's Life Story, Steve McQueen, American Icon, and Hope for Hurting Hearts with Jeremy Camp and Nick Vujicic.
All that and a lot more at harvest.org.
It's your resource for family enrichment and spiritual growth.
So join us for Harvest at Home each week at harvest.org.
Next time, Pastor Greg continues his look at the great heroes of the Bible. It's a fascinating message called The Teenager Who Changed the World. Think you know who it is? Find out next time on A New Beginning.